Swim. This one the other day, you guys should know it, and we're gonna do the guy girl part thing again, but we'll get to it when we get to it.
on a rock. He gave me beauty for ashes and joy for my mourning. Praise heaven and earth. He put a new song in my mouth and a crown upon my to me, so good, so, so good to me, so good, so, so good to me, Jesus. So good, so, so good to me, so good, so, so good to me, so good, so, so good to me, Jesus. Because you pick me up and you turn me around and you place my feet on a solid ground, hallelujah, hallelujah. As I remember when you picked me up and you turned me around and you placed my feet on a solid ground, hallelujah, hallelujah. One more of those. Cause I remember when you picked me up and you turned me around and you placed my feet on a solid ground, hallelujah, hallelujah. Righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, oh, yeah. Whoa, oh, I got love and joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, yeah. Whoa, oh, he's been so good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. You've been so good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me, Jesus. Let's take it down a bit.
Now we're going to do the parts thing, okay? And the girls are going to follow Carly, and the guys are going to follow me. Okay, let's try it. We'll just do the girls first, okay?
Because he picked me up and turned me around and he placed my feet on solid ground.
Again,
pick me up and he turned me around and he placed my feet on solid ground. Hallelujah.
Okay, guys, we're gonna do I got love. I got love, okay? I got love,
pick me up and
peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, yeah. Whoa, oh, I got love and joy. And peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, let's try it. Just the guys, okay? Just the guys. Ready? I got love and joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, yeah. Whoa, one more, guys. I got love and joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, everybody together again. I got love,
pick me
joy,
up and
peace,
turn me around
and righteousness
and my
in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, yeah. Whoa, oh, again. I got love,
pick me
joy,
up and
peace,
turn me around and righteousness and my feet on
the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, yeah. Let's do just the voices. I got love,
pick me
joy,
up and turn
peace,
me around and
righteousness
place my feet on
the Holy
ground.
Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Whoa, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Whoa, I got love,
pick
and
me
joy,
up and turn
peace,
me around and
righteousness
place my feet
in
on
the
solid
Holy Spirit.
Ground. Hallelujah.
Whoa,
hallelujah.
Yeah. Whoa, he's fair. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good to me, Jesus.
That was awesome. Hey, give them a hand. How cool was that? Give yourself a hand. Hey, give someone else. High five a few more people before you sit down. That was awesome. Thanks, guys. Awesome. How you doing? Good? You enjoyed it sleeping a little bit? I heard breakfast was delivered. Is that a true statement? Yeah, it was. Who had a good time last night at the night game? That was pretty crazy, eh? That was so cool. I was out there hanging out, and I got in that giant ball at one point and wanted to throw up, and it was so good. It was so good. Anyways, I'm not going to waste too much time. I'm just going to pray, and then we'll get into it. Cool? You guys are awesome. Seriously. Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you for sunshine. Thank you that we're able to sleep in. That's cool. Just thank you for camp, period. And everything that we have the privilege to do this week, thank you. And thank you that you are in it. And in many ways, you're speaking to us through it. So just for this moment, Lord, this morning, my hope is that you can speak to us. My hope is we don't just put on that little mask, that little like, you know, I'm trying to be perfect type mask. My hope is we don't maybe have this naive kind of mindset, because sometimes when we talk about this side of life, it's very easy for all of us to say, well, that's never going to be me. But speak truth into our lives and really like embed that reality into us. Help me, Lord, as I try my best to communicate this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to someone around you. And I got a question on the screen right here. What is the wildest thing you've ever done? What is the wildest, craziest, most adventurous thing you've ever done? The wildest, craziest, most adventurous thing. Take 2 minutes, share with someone around you. Thanks, guys. One more minute. I got 30 seconds. Okay, or zero. Okay, so. Maybe 2 people, anyone brave enough to share, what's the craziest, wildest, most adventurous thing you've ever done? Anyone brave enough? Maybe 1 person, 2 people, nobody, okie dokie. So, yeah, we got one, good. Oh, are you going to try again this year? Okay, yeah, that's what I like to hear. I love it. It's so good. Right here, we got one more story up here. That was awesome. You almost got your... I know, seriously. And the worst thing you've ever done. You know, you covered everything there. Yeah, good point, good point. You almost got your head knocked off. Did anyone see that at the end yesterday? Like, right when she swung, was it Lily who was swinging? Oh, sorry. And right when you swung, like, you ducked to pick something up. It was unbelievable. I love it. On my end, here's a little story. A few months ago, back in February, I had an opportunity to go speak at a few conferences and a few churches in a little city called Dubai. Anyone know where Dubai is? Here's like a little picture. You guys maybe seen like his background somewhere. This is out in the Middle East. Now, as these people were arranging the trip, they said, Mike, you're going to have maybe 3 or 4 days off in between, like, you know, your conferences and churches and everything we have you booked for. So if you could do anything on your days off, what would you want to do? Now, in a city like Dubai, which is very, like, futuristic, very modern, very touristy, when they say anything, this is a city where, like, anything is, like, anything. For example, when I was out there, there was a guy named Tim Tebow. Anyone know Tim Tebow? Like, football player? I guess he's a baseball player now, yeah. He wanted to do, like, in Dubai, they have the world's longest zip line. So that's what he did. He did the world's longest zip line. Anyone like race cars? A couple people. Well, without even having a driver's license, you can rent a real Formula One race car. And for an hour, drive it across like a professional Formula One racetrack. Really cool. What else do they have? Does anyone like cats? Yeah? They eat them out there. I'm kidding. That's so bad. I'm so sorry. Okay, so they don't eat them out there, but out there, this is so weird. Who likes cats in real life? You like cats? Well, some people have pet cheetahs. Like, you know, like a gigantic cat. So I'm not making this up. You'll be driving down the road, and maybe in someone's passenger seat, there's a cheetah just sitting there. This is like the weirdest place I've ever been in my whole entire life, but one of the coolest places. So I said, Mike, if you can do anything, what do you want to do? So here's what I did. I started Googling the top thing to do when you go out to that city of Dubai. And every website I went to, every little like page I went on, it seemed like everyone recommended the same thing. Skydiving. Has anyone ever gone skydiving before? Now, I need to redeem myself. Because yesterday I talked about how like I almost died with a mouse. This is how I redeem myself. So here's what I look at. I see, like, you know, the skydiving. I start going online, doing some more research. And they got this one skydiving company right on the water in Dubai. And this is where everybody goes. So I went to the website. I started looking at, like, you know, all the research and kind of looking at all the information. I start looking at the bottom, and people would give it, like, you know, a 5 out of 5 rating or a 1 out of 5 rating. So I'm reading all these reviews, and honestly, at the end of the day, I couldn't care less if people were giving it a 5 out of 5 rating or a 1 star. I was just happy people were alive to give any rating at all. You know what I mean? So that's all I really cared about. Like, it seemed positive. Then I start looking at pictures that they've displayed, and all these pictures, you're jumping with someone else. So you're jumping with someone attached to your back. And sure, it looked really awkward with, like, you know, a grown man, like, whispering in your ear. But, like, the picture didn't seem that creepy. Not creepy enough to keep me away. In fact, all the pictures, everyone had a giant smile. It seemed like really, that display seemed really good. So in that moment, I just said, let's go for it. So I picked the day I wanted to jump. I picked the time I wanted to jump. And I threw my credit card information in there, hit confirm. And I was locked in because when you hit confirm, it very, very clearly says no refund, okay? So I'm stuck, okay? This is it. I'm in there. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm terrified of heights. Heights is like my number one fear, okay? So it makes no logical sense in any way, shape, or form. So I get out to Dubai. I do a couple of conferences. I speak at a couple of churches. And finally the day, February 13th, comes along for me to jump out of an airplane. I've been kind of thinking about this and kind of envisioning what it's all going to look like, but I'm not sure how it's all going to turn out. So that morning, I go and I end up in the facility that does all the jumps. And I go to the front desk and I say, hey, my name is Mike. My jump's at 12:30. You know, I need to sign in, blah, 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 blah. And the man behind the desk says, hey, you're from Canada. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And he says, well, I'm also from Canada. And he actually mentioned a city I live really close to. And we had this good talk about, I don't know, maple syrup and stuff, you know? And I'm thinking the whole time, if he's from Canada, he lived near my city, if I die, he can just take me home with him. You know what I mean? It's like, put me in a jar, whatever remains are there, and it's like, put him on my front porch. So, here we are. We have this great conversation. And then he says, Mike, you need to go stand over there. And in 30 minutes or so, your instructor will come along and give you all the next steps. I'm like, cool, I get it. So I go, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And finally, my instructor comes along. And sometimes people, when they introduce themselves to someone, they like to, you know, maybe tell a joke to break the ice. This is what he says. He says, Mike, have you ever gone skydiving before? I'm like, no, it's my first time. He says, do you know what the hardest part of skydiving is? I'm like, I have no idea. And then he says, the ground. I'm like, what? No, I'm scared. Don't do that to me, please. No, that's not funny. Like, now is not the time, okay? Oh, boy. And then he goes through all the instructions. So I lay on the floor, and he says, Mike, bend your arch your back and put your legs up like a banana, like you're doing yoga in front of everyone. Like you're doing, like, all these little poses, which were vital for the jump. And then he gives me this harness. Has anyone ever gone rock climbing before? You guys know when you put that harness on, first of all, when you put it on, it feels like you're like getting changed in front of everyone. You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird feeling. And so I'm putting a giant harness on, which feels like a gigantic diaper. And then you have to, like, you know, put it over your shoulder. And they, like, did it up so tightly where your leg just kind of, like, split open like this. So you're standing here, like, really awkward. And then they say, okay, come follow me. You're like, what? Okay. It's like they're dawdling across like this. About to give birth, you know? So anyways, it's really weird. So I walked across the facility to a golf cart, and they take me to the airplane. Now, again, I have no idea how I'm going to respond. I might jump out of that airplane with a big smile on my face, and it might be amazing. Or I might get in that airplane and refuse to do anything, and they may have to drag me off like a United Airlines passenger. You know what I mean? Like... He made a lot of money. It's all good. So, it's so bad. So we go in the airplane, 13,000 feet into the air. And I was doing okay until they open the door. Have you ever been on an airplane where the door just opens? No, maybe WestJet. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, like... One of the cheaper ones, but seriously. And I'm standing like right here. I'm sitting right here. And they open the door right maybe where you are. I'm like 3-4 feet away. Now, I don't have a seatbelt on. I'm not attached to anything. I don't have a parachute. I could just sneeze and roll out the door and die. You know what I mean? Like, I could just be like, hey, look, a Fruit Loop, and just like keep rolling. Why is there a Fruit Loop on the ground in a plane? I don't know. It's Dubai. They have everything, remember? Then in this moment, my instructor, who's sitting right beside me, he said, Mike, you need to stand up and sit on my lap. Like, excuse me, sir? I think you're severely mistaken. Like, that was not in the brochure at all, okay? You are not Santa. So in the most awkward moment of my whole entire life, I stand up and I sit on this grown man's lap. You have any idea how creepy this is? Imagine if you came into chapel and I'm sitting on Gil's lap. You're going to be like, what the heck going on here, okay? It's just really weird. Thank God the cameraman wasn't recording. I'm sitting there and he starts like attaching me to his harness. And then he stands up and by default, I stand up. I'm just dangling like a baby kangaroo. And he walked to the edge of this airplane. And he says, we're going to jump on the count of three. One, two, and we jump. There's no three, okay? He tricked me. And I went falling 120 miles down towards the ground. Now, can I be honest with you? I hated every second of it. And it seemed like it just got worse and worse and worse. That's free fall. And out of nowhere, they pulled the chute. If you're really into wedgies, If you've ever been hung up by your underwear, like on like, you know, the bunk bed. If you ever had an atonic wedge, that's nothing compared to this, okay? Like, seriously, the only thing that stops you is this little harness that's like all down here and up there, and here we go. And remember, I never felt pain like that in my whole entire life. I haven't been able to poo since, you know what I mean? Like, and then the worst part, I'm thinking once the parachute's up, that's the easy part. No, it's not. The man who's attached to me, he then kind of like yells in my ear. He goes, "Do you like roller coasters?" I'm like, "No, why?" He goes, "Uh-oh." Because what happened then for the next 10 minutes, you don't just float down. There's a cutting through the air, cutting through the wind like a gigantic roller coaster. And by the time I hit the ground, I felt so sick and so nauseous. Now, here's the picture I put on Facebook afterwards. Here's the picture of the me skydiving, okay? So this is like... This is out in Dubai. This is real. This actually happened. Now, that picture there, that's the only decent picture I have, okay? All the other pictures look like this next one. It was the worst. The worst. But check this out. Here's how this whole weird adventure started. It started off by someone saying, "You can do anything." You can do anything. And when I started looking at the website, the pictures that they had on display were not pictures like this. It was pictures with everyone who had this smile on their face and all good. So I went that direction. Because on the surface level, that display, it looked fulfilling. It looked like it was going to lead to something. It looked like it was going to be an amazing thing. But I get up there, I jump on this out of this airplane. It's just like it's free fall. And it seemed to get worse and worse and worse. Now, I feel like a culture that we live in right here now, that's the message they give you. Do anything. Whatever you want, whatever makes you happy, whatever you think might fulfill you, whatever feels good in that moment, just do it. And on display, we see people with smiles, on display with social media, all those different things. It looks like everyone's having the time of their life. But what you don't see is what's happening underneath. And you don't see these kind of photos. You don't see that it's not actually leading to that life they thought it would. You don't see that leading to this brokenness, this emptiness, this hopelessness. And you start living this way and you're doing whatever you want to do. It's like the free fall. And in many cases, it might get worse and worse and worse until you kind of just hit the ground. The story that we've been looking at for the week, the prodigal son. Remember, Jesus talking to people in that culture who are way far on one side and way far on the other, the people who are far away and close to him, at least what they thought. And yesterday, as we started the story, we looked at the father, and all you see from the father in the first two verses is that he is love. But we see this youngest son that we're going to focus on a little bit today. So I'm going to put these scriptures on screen now. If you have a Bible, we can turn it to Luke chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 13 all the way to 16. So I'll give you a second if you have the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, first of all, I think we might be able to get you one. I don't know. Maybe I'm jumping the gun there. Yeah? Okay. So if you don't have a Bible, come talk to us. But in this moment, if you don't have a Bible just because you didn't bring it, you know, from your cabin, we will have everything on the screen. Cool? Cool? Okay. And if you don't know where Luke is as well, the Bible is a big book, and it has many different books in the book. So if you don't know where a book is, never feel awkward looking in a table of contents. Most Bibles have it. Just to see, like, you know, where it is in the Bible. So go for that. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, ready, read. We're going to read, like, all those verses from 13 to 16. Cool? 1, 2, 3, ready, read. Good job for reading. You guys are awesome. I'm so sorry. Okay, I need to be mature for a second. So here we go. Okay, I'm back. Has anyone heard of this story before? And when we look at this story, to give you a little recap, this is a little story in a bigger story. And for a lot of time, when we look at the story of the prodigal son, we just focus on this part of it. Now, I want to remind you, Jesus is making this story up. He's talking to the tax collectors and sinners. He's talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He's making this story up. But there's things in the story, in that culture, that both sides would understand. And I think here in 2018, there's still things in this story that we can really take hold of. And what we're going to find out tomorrow, the story is going to kind of do like almost like a 180 and shift the focus and go a completely different direction. But for now, we see this youngest son. And essentially he said, Dad, I want you dead. Give me everything. Give me my money. And as an act of essentially unconditional love, for whatever reason, the father in this story gives him the money. And he goes to his far-off land, his far-off country, like you just read. And what happened is he wasted it all. And he probably went out there with his mindset, this is going to fulfill me. Like maybe something along the way said, this is where you need to be. And maybe there's a big display. Maybe he heard something along the way. And he felt, if I go there, I can do anything. Well, essentially, he did anything. But what was on display didn't exactly lead to what he thought it was going to lead to. And it was like this free fall. He goes, and maybe for a moment it seemed fun. But then he wastes all his money. And then from an unseen circumstance, all of a sudden, like there's like a drought, there's no food. And it wasn't just him that suffered from that. It was also everyone in that area who also suffered from that, who may have been taking part in the same kind of lifestyle, God knows. And he hit this point where he basically became so desperate. He says, listen, I'm going to go work. I'm going to like do whatever it is. I'm going to hang out with pigs. And he got so low where you can start eating the same food that the pigs eat. Now, remember, Jesus is telling a story to two groups of people. Now, the group over here, the Pharisees, when they're hearing this, Jesus sharing this story, Jesus kind of painting a picture in their culture of like the worst of the worst of the worst. And everything that Jesus probably could have said, probably would have, every Pharisee been like, oh, what? He burned his dad and left him? He then wasted it all? He started like hanging out with pigs, started eating like basically become lower than pigs, started eating their food. In that culture, like pigs were considered like unclean. So everything Jesus is doing, I'm sure Jesus being very smart knew, he kind of like ruffling their feathers a little bit. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But there is a reality in what Jesus is saying that we can take. And the reality is the culture that we live in, we don't always focus on that part of the prodigal son. We don't look at that part of life, the negative consequences, the junk that comes along with just doing whatever you want. And we don't look at that part, then that kind of life of doing anything, let's be honest, it does look attractive on a surface level. Now here's a weird stat in Canada. I'm going to throw a stat on screen here. In Canada, this was a research project that came out not too long ago. I think, well, it feels long now. About 2013, 2014, called Hemorrhaging Faith. It's a giant study just in Canada. They're actually coming out with part two. I've been blessed to be on the front line of this research, and we'll be coming out with part two later this year. But it's all the research in Canada. They say about 70% of people who are raised in the church or maybe in a Christian camp or in a Christian environment, 70% walk away from God by the age of 22. Those 70% have somehow learned that, you know, God is love and maybe got an idea of what his purpose is and like the plan they have for his life and what a life following him looked like. But it seems like by 22, when we get a little bit older, when we go to university, when we go to college, we have maybe more of an opportunity where we maybe break off from our parents a little bit when we hit 18 to do anything. And because the culture we live around seems to be living that way, they're saying about 70% are now turning away from God, turning away from the church, and taking part in this. Now, you guys know me, as I mentioned, like I get this privilege to travel and speak, but on the side, about 3 years ago, I planted a ministry. And the ministry is focused on people who are in the 22 to 30 bracket. And we're in a little group of like over 400 people right now. And I lead that right now out in Ontario. And I see these numbers. And I see these people. And almost all of them would say, man, it looked attractive. And it seemed like everyone was having fun. It all looked good on a surface level. But almost every single one of these people I talked to, this is 400 plus people. They said, man, I wish I knew the reality of that lifestyle. And I wish I knew what it was leading to. And I wish I knew it was going to be like this free fall. I wish I knew. Because if I knew, I would never have just walked away and turned to the culture and start living that way. And here's my hope. And I shoot three quick things at you in a second. My hope is none of us fall into that 70% category. And my hope, no matter how attractive the culture gets, that we never forget the love of God and that we can be rooted in that. Now here's the question I'm going to throw at you super duper quick. If you're kind of thinking on a surface level, why do you think so many people walk away from God? Why do you think by the time people are 22, although they might know the truth and know that he's love and know maybe an idea of what his way looks like, why do so many people, you think, turn away from him and start living this prodigal son type lifestyle? Turn to someone maybe a minute and a half, and then we'll slowly wrap it up. Forty-5 seconds. Thirty seconds. Twenty, ten, nine. 4, 3, 2, 1. Does anybody want to share maybe one or two of their answers? I don't think there's any wrong answers here. Just kind of, anyone want to share? Totally cool if not. And I think, yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And that's wisdom. That I don't think a lot of us sometimes when we go to university and college, sometimes we don't really realize what we're surrounded by and how that can kind of draw us in and kind of have this domino effect on many levels, from the community to our belief system to being challenged. But here's the reality. And we see this in the story of the prodigal son. Now, the prodigal, I mean, that means like, you know what that word means? Basically, it means like wasted resources. He's the guy who had everything and kind of wasted it, wasted this opportunity. But we see this son, this youngest son, he was raised in the father's home. He was raised in this environment. What would have caused him to go away? And what are some things that we can learn from this? And I'm going to take a few things from the story, three really quick things. I'll make it somewhat quick. And what I'm going to share, I see this with the 70% that I get to hang out with, this 22 to 30 bracket who maybe walked away as well. And the common trend. So number three things that I see out of this story that maybe we can keep our eyes open for. Number one, temptation. So here's the part of the story. Here's the youngest son. From my understanding, he's kind of grown up in this environment. Now, what would have had to happen for him to start thinking maybe this life over here might be more attractive? It might be more fulfilling. This might be more wild. It might be more fun. Would he have heard that from someone? Would that message have come along maybe with other people who kind of worked in the father's home? What in his life would have caused him to shift his mind to thinking that might be a better way? And the reality is with your mind, your mind is so powerful. And when you start fixing your mind on something else, usually where your head goes, that's where your life goes. And when you start entertaining these thoughts, and maybe this wave of culture might be more fulfilling, might be more attractive, might be more awesome. You can start entertaining these thoughts and maybe try to justify why it's okay. Maybe in the midst of justifying why it's okay to live this way, maybe we start having other thoughts and say, well, you know what? Maybe living the way God wants to live, that's too hard. Or no one lives that way. You know what? That just seems like a minority group of people now. And that temptation seems to grow. There's something that happens in our mind if you study the brain a little bit called impact bias. And though you might know the right answer, in that moment, when you fix your eyes on something, your brain kind of begins to over-exaggerate the effect and the benefits of making that decision or doing this or doing that. Your brain is really powerful. And I believe in this story, something would have had to happen. He would have started getting this message from the culture, which would have shifted him. Because when he came to his father, I think he had a good idea what he was walking away from. But I don't think he had a good idea what he was walking to. So temptation, that seems to start shifting people's focus quite a bit. Another thing we kind of see from this story, on the next one, please. And I'll slowly wrap this up. There's consequences. Again, the culture that we live in, they are saying, do whatever you want, live whatever way you want, believe whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. If it feels good in that moment, just go for it. And we look tiny bit about like being postmodern, post-truth, post-rational, post-Christian. And a lot of those worldviews and a lot of that culture kind of influence basically says there's no consequences. And that's why it's so attractive to be told to go do whatever you want. We see this nice display that everyone looks like it's having fun. But the reality is there is. And we see this in the story. There are consequences. He went and lived this lifestyle. He lost all his money. He ended up hitting rock bottom. And sometimes the choices we make and the things that we do, the consequences and the impact and the effect it has on you might not just impact you, it can also impact your mom and your dad and your friends or the person you're in a relationship with. If we are thinking our choices don't have consequences, we need to break free from that mindset. That's not reality. But that's the reality that's presented maybe in our culture a little bit sometimes. And we see in this story, there were consequences. And number three, please. It's unfulfilling. Who was here last year? I think I did a tiny little talk one night talking about this idea. And we looked at a guy named Solomon, I believe it was. Now, even if we don't maybe hit all those like negative consequences that maybe some people might hit on this stage of life, even when you take hold of it, even if it does work out, maybe if you did that, you did this, there's a part of you thinking, I'm going to be fulfilled. It's going to satisfy me. What if that void is that's in me that I'm trying to fulfill, I'm trying to like, you know, this is going to do it for me. But we take hold of these things and we kind of realize there's still an emptiness. And there's still a hopelessness and there's still a brokenness and it didn't do what you were told it was going to do. It didn't lead to what you thought it was going to lead to. But when we just look at the surface level, it's so easy to be tricked. I can't tell you how many people that I know can relate to this person, this youngest son. Because they come back to this ministry that I do with that brokenness and that hopelessness and emptiness. And almost all of them saying, I'm back because this didn't do it for me. I felt lied to. I felt taken advantage of. And I say that because if you think that way is the way it leads to life, you're going to be disappointed. I don't want to see anyone hit that rock bottom. And we see the prodigal son, he hit that rock bottom. As I wrap it up, I'll wrap it up on this thought. I think the team has one more song, I believe. Maybe we'll invite them up. This kind of lifestyle that the youngest son left his father for. Again, I kind of shared a little bit of my story on Sunday night. And I identify with that. I was literally kind of told in high school, whatever you want, just do it. Anything, just do it. And that became tempting. And it's kind of weird because honestly, even though I didn't grow up in a Christian background, even though I didn't really have that foundation knowing like God's way and that he is love, the weird part is the decisions I was making, there's still something inside me that knew this wasn't right. But because everyone I was hanging out with was going this direction, I thought, you know what? Like, not everyone can be wrong. And I was tempted. And it led to one little thing, to another, and to another. It got bigger and bigger and worse. And I found out very shortly that there's consequences. There's an impact that that lifestyle has on your life in the moment, but also maybe long term, that we don't think about. And I was not fulfilled at all. Now, I walked around with a smile on my face. But it was fake. Deep down, I was that broken kid. And if you need to learn something from this story of the prodigal son, learn it. And if you need to learn from my stupidity, learn it. I don't want to see anybody go down this road and realize the reality. I don't want to see anyone in that 70% stat. I don't want anyone to see that rock bottom. I don't want to see any one of you fall into that boat. I'm going to pray. And we'll kind of maybe tonight we'll talk about this a little bit more. You guys are going to be climbing a mountain in a few minutes, which is going to be really cool. And my hope, we don't have like a scheduled cabin time, but maybe when you're up there, or maybe when we have lunch later, sit with your cabin. I would love to get some questions about this topic, because I know there's a lot of things that come up. And we can go a little bit deeper tonight, and we also have another testimony tonight too that will also maybe paint this picture of the reality of this life, how it's not what you think it is. I'm going to pray. Lord God, thank you. And here's the story. We're looking at the youngest son. Now, this is like one part of a really big story. But there's a reality in this story. And we're seeing it still play out here 2,000 years later. Where a life apart from you is not going to lead to the things that we think it will. And we live in a culture today where everyone's saying to do whatever, do anything, it's all good. But the reality is, it's not all good. And we may not see that because everyone's walking around with smiles. We may not see that because we're at a young age. Maybe we haven't seen the consequences of it. But maybe we know someone who's 30 who has been affected. Maybe we know someone in their 40s. Maybe we have a family member. And give us a taste of that reality. So help protect our mind. Help us know that your way and your love and being with you is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is ultimately what every single person in this world is searching for. But the reality is sometimes we don't know that's where we find it. Through you. So we go to this culture. We go to this world. We follow these temptations. We follow these ways. But lead to emptiness. And sure, it might be fun in that moment. But that moment ends quite quickly. And maybe if there's anyone here right now, Lord, for whatever reason, they identify with that way of life. First of all, give us that reality. That's not what they're looking for. But also give us that truth. No matter what we've done, no matter how far down that road we've gone, no matter what we said, no matter how bad it was, your love is still unconditional. And every single person here still qualifies for your grace. But my hope is that we don't have to experience this truth in life the hard way. But we can be here at the camp and take hold of this truth. And never turn from you, never walk away from you. Thank you that you are love. Thank you for your word and giving us an honest reality check. And thank you for this camp, which helps us fix our eyes on you, helps us remind us of this truth. As we continue on with the day, let us never forget the love that you have for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't you stand up and we'll respond.
To your side, so heaven.
Lord, we just want to confess that you are the great I am, and that we have no standing before you, no right to stand before you except the righteousness that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus. And so we want to be aware of that today and be cognizant and acknowledging your grace that's been poured into our lives. We want to be recognizing that even now. And as we go from this place, Lord, would your Holy Spirit just permeate all the areas of our day and all the areas of our minds and our hearts. And Lord, would you be at the center of everything we do and everything we say today and in the days ahead. In Jesus' name. Okay, guys, Weston's going to explain what's going to happen next, so you can be seated.